That song has always touched me. It was written by Mary Jo Wilkins, I believe, and then also Kris Kristofferson. Both co-wrote that. If you ever get a chance to get on YouTube, we would encourage you to hear the testimony of Kris Kristofferson. Now, I realize... But this was really, really something, what happened to him. And Rhodes Scholar that became a singer, wrote a lot of songs, entertainer, and he was invited to a evangelistic meeting that was being held by Jimmy Snow. And made the altar call, and he said, "I don't know why I put my hand up." He said, "But I did." He said, "Next, I found myself going down to the altar." He said, "I don't know why I did it, but I did." He said, "I bowed there and I began to pray." He said, "I don't know why I did that, but I did." And he said, "Suddenly it was like a burden was lifted off of me." And he said, "I felt free." So, you know, God can save anyone. Doesn't take a lot, but he can save anyone. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals, come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For all of Elkton Church and everyone who's here is sheltered in the arms of God. Appreciate everyone who is here. We ask that you pray for this service and pray for us, that God will have right of way in the hearts of each and every individual. Let God direct you. Let God lead you. And whenever that you leave this place, whenever that you go to your respective places of abode, may God continue to direct you and lead you. I have a bookmark that's pretty well seen better days, but it has all of the names that Jesus has referred to, and then some. you know, such things as he's the righteous judge. He's the captain of our salvation. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we could go on and read this entire thing, and we would never exhaust it, what he is today and who he is today. And we want to read some scripture that's found in the 8th chapter of the book of John. If you have your Bible with you, we invite you to turn there with us. In the 8th chapter of the book of John. Now, when you read this, you're going to think that it's a debate between Christ and between the Pharisees or the leaders of the Jews. And it does sound like that. But I think it was an effort upon our Lord's part to try to get their eyes open unto who he is and who he was in that day and time. We're going to start with the 42nd verse. And this is not going to sound very complimentary. But Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceedeth and come forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Now, how many followers would you get if you walked up to someone debating you like that and said that you're of your father, the devil? But Christ was looking down into their heart, and I believe that he was seeing what it was that was binding them, that they were in the throes of sin and that they were in the throes of Satan. It says he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art, now here comes the name calling, thou art a Samaritan. If you knew what that meant to a Jew, that's about the harshest thing that you could say to him. Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and as a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. And your Father, I want you to pay attention to these next four verses of Scripture. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, and this aroused something within them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before that Abraham was, I am. Before that Abraham was, I am. That name is not used very often. People will say today, well, that's just a part of speech. That really doesn't define anything. But if you go back to Exodus chapter 3, and in those verses of Scripture where that Moses went up into the mount to see the burning bush, and while that he was there, God spoke to him. Someone will ask today, did God speak to him in an audible voice? I believe so. Because Abraham had been so exposed under the idolatry of the Egyptians, I believe God used something to get his attention. Not that Abraham didn't believe, but God spoke face to face with Abraham. And whenever that he told them that they were going to be, he was going to be sent down into Egypt, Abraham said, "Who am I going to tell them that sent me?" And God said unto him, "You tell them, I am that I am, hath sent you." If we could just get a hold of what that name means, that's a name. It defines the Almighty God. It defines the Eternal One. Sometimes on this plane that we live on, we only see right here, and it's hard to look up here. And David even said in one place, "Such knowledge is so high that I cannot even attain to it." This is a man that was after God's own heart. But I am that I am. You tell them that that's who has sent you. What does that name mean? It means I have always been. I am now. And I forevermore shall be. We are finite. In other words, we've got a beginning, we've got an end. But God has never had a beginning. Little children will ask that question of you today. Where did God come from? And all you can tell them is God has always been. Even my friend down to the other side of eternity, whenever the time ends for us, he'll be the same. God never changes. He said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." And that's how that the Jews recognized, and that's how the Jews worshiped God today. They called him Jehovah. They called him Yahweh. And to show how much that they feared and that they respected that name. And this may sound rather odd to you today, in the name of God, in their alphabet, whenever that they would name God, they respected him and revered him and feared him and loved him and worshiped him so much that they didn't put vowels in his name. Now, I don't know why they did that, but sometimes they didn't even mention his name. That's how much they revered him. That's how much he had revealed himself unto them. And now we find the second person, the second Adam, the last Adam, sent from the bosom of God into this world, made of a woman, made under the law for the purpose of redemption. Now he has come, the promised Messiah. He is the Messiah today. Did you know that? He's the Messiah to you and to me. He's the Messiah unto his people. And someday, I pray that their eyes will be open. And like the Apostle Paul said in one place, that they too will be saved. That they'll recognize him that they pierced. But we find that he identified himself as being the same as God. If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. You've been saved. You encounter God the Father also. And I want you to realize today that that word that became flesh, we beheld the glory of God as of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of grace and truth. Now, I do not know if Jesus looked like this. I would like to think that he did. But you know, there's the beauty of faith today. We believe and we follow him by faith. by faith. That's how you serve God today, is by faith. And we find, my friend, that we could go on, and I realized that our stomachs would start growling at some point in the day, but we could go on and talk about the glory and who He is. And oftentimes these names were named the way that they were to describe their attributes, or the attributes of God, or in this case, the attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder. Paul said in one place, God highly exalted Him and bestowed upon Him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, whether on earth, under the earth, in heaven, and every tongue shall confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. Praise God. There's coming a day, my friend, whenever that this world is going to acknowledge Him, is going to recognize Him. It may be too late for some, but I want you to know He's going to open the eyes of all, and they'll see the glory as of the only begotten of Son of God, full of grace and truth. But what does that mean to us today, here upon this earth, here in this church today? And how do we regard Him? Sometimes I feel like I take God for granted. There are times whenever that I pray, and it's just out of habit, and it's just out of, okay, I'm going to pray and get through the day. But I want you to know the prayer is more than just putting in a request to God. I mean, that's an important part, and we should do that. But prayer is communion with God. Can you imagine it today? That whenever you pray and you come before God and you spend time with Him, you're spending time with the One that said in the beginning, let there be light, and light was. And oh, if you get down into the way that was originally written, God didn't even have to make a sentence out of it. He just said, light be, and light was. He spoke it into existence. And my friend, all things that are made, my friend, were made by Him. You are praying unto the One that created this universe. And you might say, well, who am I? Who am I? That I would pray to someone like that. But that's exactly the reason why that He sent Christ Jesus into the world. And that light from the beginning is with us, came to us. And my friend, that light of Christ, it contrasts the darkness that is in the world today, the evil that is in the world. I want you to know today, not only is Christ the light, but you are lights also. When I was growing up as a kid, there used to be a song that they would sing in church, and it really didn't mean a whole lot to me. It was like, at that time, Amazing Grace. They're going to call for it. Here we go. But it has come to mean so much to me today. It's a song that says, let the lower lights be burning. Send a beam across the way. Some poor, struggling, fainting seaman, you may rescue. You may say, Christ is the lighthouse. He is the light. It never extinguishes. But you and I today are the lighthouses along the shore. That also, to those around us that we encounter, that we work with, whatever the case might be, that light is to shine out to them. What it amounts to today is you let your light shine. You let your light shine. Christ wants to shine through you today. You might say, well, this is going on, that's going on. We got transgender this, and we got this going on. We got nations fighting over in Ukraine. My friend, there's always going to be people that will step back from the way that God created them. There is always going to be nations that are at war with one another. But we only have now this time to witness unto those that are lost and in darkness. And yes, they may call you every name under the sun. They did the early apostles. They did the forefathers of us whenever that they tried to stand up against religious tyranny in other countries. But my friend, we're still to stand. We're still to let our light, the light of Christ that dwells within us, we're to let it shine. We're not to cover it up. We're not to allow it to be extinguished. But as He is the light in this world, we are to be lights also. Christ came into this world in the flesh, and people will argue with you today that, well, really? It's a good philosophy. Yeah, it's a good thing to follow. And I'm not making fun of them. They believe this. It's a good philosophy. It's a good role model there. And I just really like the way he said this and did this, so I'm going to cut this out of the scriptures, and I'm going to follow this. And then also can't even think of his name now, but anyway, the Hindus, I'm going to take a little bit of that, and I'm going to take a little bit of Islam, and I'm going to take a little bit of this, and I'm kind of going to do like Thomas Jefferson did. You know what Thomas Jefferson did? He didn't like some things in the Bible, so he cut it out. Have you ever seen a Jeffersonian Bible? A lot of things missing. But I hope your Bible, and I'm not talking about what you bring to church with you. I hope the Bible, the Word of God, is not like that in your heart. I want you to know, and I want you to realize today that He's not a philosophy only. He's not an idea. He's not worldly knowledge today, but He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was born of a virgin, a supernatural birth. Who hath ever heard of such a thing? And we find that we have seen His glory as of the only begotten Son of God. When we preach Christ, or we try to preach Christ, my friend, you're hearing about God. And hopefully, whenever that we preach it today, you don't see me. You see the cross. You see the One that paid the penalty to redeem us from sin. You see the One that raised the dead. You see the One that healed the sick. You see the One that overcame death, hell, and the grave. And my friend is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's my prayer today, that what you will see. He's not only come in the flesh, but He's also the bread of life. Bread in that day and in that time was a very, very important commodity. That was the staple of life. And you know, you can go to every country and you can see all kinds of variety of bread according to the custom that they make it in. It's still bread. And you know, today, my friend, Christ is the bread of life. Our forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. But the bread that Christ Jesus gives never dies. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It sustains. And yes, you might say, well, I would sure get tired of eating bread all the time. You know, that's how the children of Israel were. They complained about manna in the wilderness. And then they got quail, and they complained about quail. If you reverse that and gave them quail first, they would say, well, I'd sure like to have a little bread with that, a little manna with that. I want to tell you, my friend, this bread of Christ Jesus, will sustain, and it'll keep you going, if you will. No, it's not Wonder Bread, but it's the pure bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this day and in this time, whenever that we are discouraged on every hand, whenever that the churches, whenever Christianity, true Christianity, is assaulted, my friend, I want you to know Christ will sustain. You won't want anything else but Him. There's a song that says, give me Jesus. And that's true. Give me Jesus today. Of all the ones that I've never gotten to the very bottom of all that He's revealed, all that is written about Him, but still give me Jesus. Still give me Jesus. He's the water of life. That stone Moses was supposed to speak to in the book of Numbers at Meribah. That's all God told him to do. Speak to the rock. Moses was upset about something else, and like me, his temper got away from him, and instead of speaking to it, he hit it and he called them rebels. And that wasn't what God wanted him to do. But that became the plan. But you know, the rock, Christ Jesus, that followed them in the wilderness is the same rock that follows us today. We don't have to beat him. We don't have to strike him. We try not to preach the gospel in anger and in malice towards anyone striking, you know, the rock. Or I've broken myself of striking the pulpit. But my friend, all we have to do is speak that name, Christ, Jesus. And we have that living water. That water that will quench the deep spiritual thirst that is within us today. Brother, I'm interested in what other people believe. I'm interested in what people in foreign lands, the idols that they worship. You know, and I'm going to diverge here for just a second. Oh, to have the ability of the Apostle Paul to walk in to a place where that they have all kinds of idols, into a country, and be able to say, you are searching for a higher power. You're searching for a God. But let me tell you about the one that, my friend, doesn't demand a sacrifice from you, that doesn't demand that you do certain things to your body to please him. Let me tell you about one that came and died for mankind and arose from the dead, who loves you beyond measure. Oh, to be able to tell people about that, because I believe not only are they spiritually hungry, I believe they're spiritually thirsty. But this water of life of Christ, I want you to know today, once a person takes a drink of it, he does not want anything else. I've never wanted to become another faith. Now, I'm not talking about Baptist. I'm talking about I've never wanted to even delve into Islam or whatever. I'm not putting them down. But you know, my friend, only Jesus has satisfied the thirst within me from the day that he saved my soul. You remember the woman at the well? She'd gone to Jacob's well time and time again. Do you know what time she went to the well in Samaria? Oh, there was two strikes against her. Actually, three. Nobody went to the Samaritans. Nobody would even consider them. But Jesus must needs go into Samaria. And at Jacob's well, he met a woman that had been coming to that well time and time again. I think she'd been coming there physically for water, but I think also there was something yearning down and deep in her heart. She was fearful of the people that were in the town, of what they might say against us. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's a saying that says, every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know, my friend, this was her day. My friend, where she was going to come for the last time. Why? Because she was going to get a drink of the living water. And do you know today, my friend, and I won't go through the whole discourse of what he said to her. And she said to him this one thing that really got to me when I read it and studied it. Said, we know that Messiah's come, or that he will come, and that he will tell us all things. And Jesus looked down into her heart and into her soul. And he said, he that speaketh with you is he. He revealed himself as the Messiah. And I want you to know, she forgot about her status in that city. She forgot her water pots. Can you imagine that? That would be like leaving your credit card at home before you go shopping. But my friend, she left those water pots. She left behind her reputation. She left behind what people thought about her. And she went to the elders in the gates and said, come see a man that told me all things that I am and I was. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the promised one? And I want you to know Jesus lingered there for about 3 days, giving living water unto those that would hear him. He's the good shepherd. He cares for the sheep. He cares for all Christians today that are under his care. He cares for you. He cares for each one of us. Someone will say, well, I really don't know about that preacher. This and this and this has happened to me. This and this and this has occurred. And I understand what sorrow is. I understand what it is to hurt. I understand what it is to lose loved ones. But I want you to know there is a shepherd that loves you so much that he laid down his life for the sheep. And he gave his life for you today. John declared him not only to be a shepherd, but also to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. No one really understood what all that meant. But my friend, it got down to the nitty-gritty whenever that it came to pay the price for redemption and reconciliation of mankind unto God. I want you to realize today he's a reconciler, he's a redeemer, he's a savior. My friend, I could go on. He is salvation. He is the light. And then we come to the very thing that justifies us before God. And that is the fact that he is the resurrection. You know, I've oftentimes worried, like, you know, if they put me in a vault when I'm gone, how am I going to get out? You know what? That's under his care. That's under his care. Well, what if I drowned at sea and the fish eat me and so on and so forth? Boy, when he spoke everything into existence out of nothing. Don't you think today, wherever that we're at, wherever that we may be buried, whatever the case might be, in our end, that he can speak and we come forth in that glorified body likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ? We find one time in the 11th chapter of the book of John, whenever that Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Scientifically, he was being decomposed at that very moment. Jesus went to the tomb and he said, "You roll back the stone." "Oh, but Master, it's been 4 days. By now, he's in rigor mortis. He's decaying. And you mean that he will come forth?" Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And so he turned to that opening there. And someone will say, if he knew Lazarus, why did he say, "Lazarus, come forth"? Because if Christ had said, "Come forth," all of the graves would have opened at that time and all would have responded. But that time had not come yet. He was demonstrating unto them, that he had power over life and he had power over death, and he does today. I'm banking on it. It's not that I'm hoping in it. But Lord, if you save my soul, undoubtedly you can bring me forth. He will bring forth the bodies of those who have died believing in him. And then he has a name that's above every other name. It's not President Jesus. It's not King Charles Jesus. It's not the Prince of Wales, Jesus. It's not even what Cyrus said unto Ezra whenever that he gave his permission for them to go back to Jerusalem. And he said, "I, the King of Kings, have decreed this." Now, Cyrus just stopped short. You know why? Because the full title of him that is coming is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and no one else will have that title. He is faithful and true. Revelation chapter 19, and in the first verse tells us, he has a name written upon him that no man knows but he himself. It's that title, and it's a title no one else has. He's called the Word of God. He was the Word of God in the beginning, and he's coming back, Word of God. And on his thigh and on his vesture is a name that's above all other names, all other monarchs, all other leaders, all other dictators. There is not going to be a man that will rule the world as Rome once did. There is going to be one in his second coming who sets up his kingdom, who will rule the world in righteousness for 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to that coronation. I watched the coronation of the king on TV. It was something else. Goodness. Why, even the horses walked in step. It was amazing. The British have always been known for spit and polish, but this excelled it all. But I want you to know that when King Jesus comes back with his saints, and my friend, when he straightens out every political power, he straightens out every country, why, my friend, he's going to straighten everybody's theology out. Amen? Everybody's religion. He will be recognized for what he came into this world to do. He is named with many names. He is crowned with many crowns. And I'm thankful today that whenever that he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I may have a little seat right over here in the corner when that goes on. But I am glad I'll be there, because I'll have a wedding garment. You'll have a wedding garment. And you'll have an invitation. And my friend, you'll have a place there. And you know what we'll do for all of eternity? We'll work for him. We'll sing his praises. I'm going to ask Paul what his thorn in the flesh was. And different ones like that. But we will know in that day as we are known. Well, Brother Kofi, you've gone a long way from fussing with the Pharisees to Christ sitting upon the throne. But that's what it's about today. That's what it's about. May God bless each and every one of you is my prayer. I ask that you pray for your lost loved ones. We don't know how much time that we have left. We don't. We're not guaranteed. We're not eternal like God. We do know that it is going to take place. We do know that whenever the prophecies were made, they were fulfilled and they came to pass. We know that. And whenever that he says, you know not the time nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, that's our marching orders, to be about our Father's business. And no, I'm not suggesting you go and quit your jobs and go, you know, preaching throughout the world or throughout the community. But God will give you opportunity. I'm going to leave this with you. Several years ago, I quit a job and went to work for an individual who just opened up a pharmacy in Lebanon, Missouri. I was on my way to work there. Kenneth said that you may not have too many people there, but there'll be a pharmacy technician working with you. And so anyway, we worked together, and all of a sudden, and I had prayed, God, let me give you this day. Lord, if putting a pill in a bottle glorifies you, help me to put many pills in a bottle. But I said, Lord, just let me honor you. I'm open. What do you want me to do? that young lady got to talking to me about church. And she got to talking to me about how that when she goes to church, she says, I feel such a burden. I go up and I pray. And she said, I just don't know what's wrong with me. And I gave her my testimony and told her how that God saved me in a warehouse many years ago. And as I began to relate that to her, I could see that it wasn't me, that the Holy Spirit was moving on her heart. I left that place, and I left her with this advice. I said, Serena, the next time that you go to the altar or you pray, wherever you feel this burden at, you get down to seriousness with God and ask Him to show you what it is and ask Him to reveal you. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Anyway, we parted company. 4 or 5 weeks later, I got a call at another pharmacy where I was working at. At any rate, it was her. And she said, I've been looking all over for you. And she said, I want to tell you something that happened to me. And she said, I took your advice. And when I felt that burden, when I felt that uneasiness, I began to ask God, what is this? What is it? Show me, Lord. And He showed me I needed Him. She said, there I was going to church, and it just didn't click with me. And she said, I got the sweetest peace in my heart. And I want you to know, I told her, Serena, I can't judge you. I can't tell you. But from what you told me, it sounds like you got peace with God. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is peace with God. Now, I bring that before you there, is I wasn't expecting to do that day. I wasn't expecting it. But you know what? It has blessed my heart. I'll look back and I'll think, oh man, I'm not like Brother Billy Graham, who's had thousands and, you know, this and that and the other, and complaining to the Lord and just having a pity party. But He said, you did that one thing. And that's all I ask. And that's all He asks of us. He asks of us to be willing to be used of Him, to be a light to Him, to reflect the light of Christ. And my friend, He'll take care of His part. And He'll save today if we'll do our part as a witness. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. God bless you is my prayer.